Imagine you are standing outside. It's a beautiful, absolutely perfect sunny afternoon.
Not a cloud in the sky.
Right. You are completely soaking in the rays, maybe enjoying a coffee, and suddenly your pocket vibrates. You pull out your smartphone to read a text message, and well, what happens? You are instantly squinting.
Oh,
You're
yay.
cupping your hand over the screen, twisting your body around to create this tiny little shadow just so you can make out a single sentence. We have all been there. It is the universal modern struggle of fighting the sun to see our digital lives.
It really is.
But what if I told you that entire experience is about to become a relic of the past? Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're pulling from a really fascinating source, a set of highly detailed excerpts titled The Micro-LED Revolution and the Dawn of Spatial Computing.
It's a great read.
It is, and our mission for this deep dive is incredibly clear. We're going to unpack the tiny, literally microscopic technology that is finally making true everyday augmented reality glasses possible. And we're going to explore exactly why this specific breakthrough might absolutely kill the smartphone within the next 5 years.
It really is a monumental shift. And, to understand the stakes here, you have to look at what the source calls the brightness
The
crisis.
brightness crisis.
Exactly. For years, some of the biggest tech giants on the planet, I mean, companies like Apple and Meta, have hit an absolute physical wall. They've been trying to build AR glasses that look exactly like normal Ray-Bans but can overlay the digital world onto the physical one. But today, we are going to explore how material scientists shattered that wall in early 2026. We'll look at the mind-bending manufacturing required to pull this off and what it fundamentally means for the future of how you interact with everything from your email to the windshield of your car.
Okay, let's unpack this because the brightness crisis is such a perfect name for the problem. I get that the sun is bright, but why has this been such an impossible wall to climb? I mean, can't hardware makers just turn up the brightness on current display tech?
You'd think so, right? But it comes down to how AR glasses actually work in practice. To make real AR function, you need to project three-dimensional holograms into your field of view that you can see clearly in direct sunlight. But that light doesn't just go straight from a screen into your eye.
Right, it's not like a PV.
Exactly, it has to travel through these complex optical waveguide lenses built right into the glasses.
Because the display itself is hidden in the frame, right?
Yeah.
And the lenses are basically bouncing that light into your retina.
Yes, and because the light is bouncing through those dense waveguide lenses, it degrades significantly. I mean, it loses a massive amount of power. By the time that light finally reaches your eye, it has lost a ton of its punch.
So it's incredibly inefficient by design.
It is. So to compensate for that massive loss, the internal displays need to generate between 1 million and 4 million nits of brightness.
Wait, millions. Just to put that in perspective for everyone listening, your high-end smartphone today might hit a couple thousand nits when you're outdoors.
Yeah.
So 4 million nits is, it's just an absolutely blinding burst of light.
It is an incomprehensible amount of raw luminosity, and that is exactly why the older technologies completely failed. We all know OLED is the gold standard for your TV or your phone right now, mostly because of those perfect infinite blacks. But the source points out a fatal flaw for AR LEDs rely on organic compounds.
Right, they're literally carbon-based.
Yes. So imagine aggressively forcing these excessively high electrical currents through those squishy organic pixels to try and hit those agonizing 1 to 4 million nit brightness
They'd
levels.
just fry, wouldn't they?
They biochemically degrade. They literally melt or permanently burn in within minutes. You just cannot have the screen of your glasses incinerating its own subpixels while you were trying to, read a map.
That makes sense. And I assume LCDs aren't any better for this specific use case either.
Not at all. Because LCDs need a backlight, right?
All right.
They structurally demand a thick background backlight array overlaid with complex liquid crystals and polarizing color filters. That layer architecture makes them incredibly bulky and extremely power hungry. Worse, those polarizing filters physically block and waste up to 70% of the generated light.
Which means you would need an absolutely massive battery just to power a screen that is actively blocking most of its own light.
Exactly.
That makes zero sense for lightweight glasses.
Ah.
So the organic chemistry of OLED melts under the pressure, and the layered tech of LCD is just way too bulky and wasteful. Which brings us to the hero of 2026 MicroLED.
Yes, microscopic light-emitting diodes. It brilliantly inherits the absolute best characteristic of OLED, which is that it has flawlessly self-emissive, independently stackable pixels. But the paradigm-shifting distinction here is the material chemistry. Instead of using vulnerable organic polymers, microLEDI is constructed from incredibly robust, resilient, inorganic crystalline structures, specifically a material called gallium nitride.
I saw the specs on the physical scale of these things in the source, and it is just wild. We are talking about individual optical diodes that are less than 5 micrometers. That is substantially thinner than a single strand of human hair.
It's microscopic. And because these inorganic crystals are so exceptionally hardened, they have a massive capacity for electrical and thermal tolerance. They can effortlessly withstand electrical currents tens or hundreds of times higher than an OLED pixel without the slightest microscopic risk of burn-in.
So that extreme durability is what finally generates that incomprehensible brightness. You could have a holographic interface that remains crisp and lucid, even if you are staring directly into the reflection of a sun-drenched desert. Plus, because they generate their own light, they don't need those heavy, polarizing color filters we saw in LCDs, do they?
No, they don't. Yeah. The raw optical efficiency is astronomically high. You are not wasting 70% of your light anymore, which means an unprecedented reduction in battery drain. This is the ultimate power draw equation finally being solved for all-day wearable glasses.
So the theory is sound, but making these tiny things is another story entirely. I saw in the source notes that TCL actually proved this wasn't just some lab experiment. It happened at the Mobile World Congress in Barcelona in March 2026. What exactly did they pull off there?
What's fascinating here is the sheer audacity of the audited metrics they presented. TCL CSO unveiled the world's smallest silicon-based micro-LED display. This fully functional rendering panel measures a mere 0.05 inches diagonally. Visually, you're looking at something smaller than half a standard grain of rice.
Half a grain of rice? That is almost hard to visualize. And the pixel density on something that small must be completely off the charts.
No, it is. It boasts a hyper-dense pixel concentration of 5,080 pixels per inch. At that density, even when heavily magnified through thick AR waveguide lenses, the naked human eye will observe impeccably smooth curves. There is absolutely zero discernible screen door effect. You know, that ugly grid of gaps between pixels you used to see in early VR headsets?
Right, where it looked like you were looking through a mesh screen.
Exactly. That's completely gone. And despite its microscopic footprint, this panel actively blasts a luminosity exceeding 4 nelson nits.
But wait, a screen that bright pushing that many pixels? Wouldn't 4 million nits absolutely fry a battery in 10 minutes? How does a tiny pair of glasses power that?
That is the true miracle of this specific panel, the power telemetry. It does all of this while its total energy consumption remains firmly below 10 milliwatts.
10 milliwatts? That is practically nothing.
It's incredibly efficient. The source calls this the exact, highly coveted engineering missing link. Because it draws so little power, hardware manufacturers can finally hide incredibly tiny, featherweight lithium silicon battery cells seamlessly within the thin stems of normal-looking sunglasses. You can have live email tickers and volumetric holographic video calls under the noon sun, and the battery actually lasts all day.
Okay, so they have the power, they have the brightness, they have the size. It sounds like a complete slam dunk, but there was a major catch, wasn't there? Here's where it gets really interesting. The source formally dubs this the red microLED efficiency crisis. Making the blue and green pixels microscopic was apparently pretty straightforward, but the red pixels were a totally different beast.
They absolutely were. Shrinking the red emitting diode below 10 micrometers caused its underlying quantum yield efficiency to plummet. In plain terms, the microscopic red pixels became incredibly weak, severely dim, and massively unresponsive compared to the blue and green ones.
And in a display, if one of your three primary colors is incredibly weak, I imagine the entire system just falls apart, right? You can't make proper colors if your red is practically turned off.
Precisely. It threw off the precise color mixing algorithms required to generate pure, unified white light, which essentially rendered the displays unusable for professional visual applications. But in late 2025 and accelerating into early 2026, elite material scientists achieved an earth-shattering physical breakthrough to fix this. They deployed highly advanced, strain-relieved epitaxial engineering.
Okay, I'm going to need you to translate that one for us non-scientists. What does that actually mean in practice?
Basically, they manipulated the atomic lattice structure of the semiconductor material during its intensely hot formation phase. They integrated novel structural anomalies known as indium gallium nitride multiple quantum wells directly into the photon emission layer.
So, if I am understanding this right, it's like they found a microscopic way to iron out the physical crystal defects in the red diodes while they were being baked. By neutralizing those wrinkles, so to speak, these ultra-miniature red LEDs finally succeeded in generating explosive brightness that perfectly synchronized with the green and blue ones.
That is a great analogy. Ironing out the crystal defects was the golden key. It unlocked fully unified, full-color RGB engines and triggered massive giants like Samsung Display and BOE technology to aggressively accelerate their multi-billion dollar mass production lines.
Okay, so we have these perfect microscopic hyper-bright screens. But the source points out this is not just about glasses. This massive leap in production rapidly became a huge disruption vector aimed directly at the global automotive industry.
A massive disruption.
Right. In the spring of 2026, the Chinese company JBD unveiled their proprietary automotive platform codenamed Griffin for luxury EVs and autonomous cars. We're talking about companies like Tesla, Lucid Motors, and BYD. How exactly does MicroLED change a car?
The Griffin platform fundamentally embeds these hyper-bright microLED arrays directly into the internal projection matrices of head-up displays, integrating them deep within the sloping glass of the windshield itself. Imagine driving, and you see live dynamic dashboard metrics or active route navigation arrows physically painted onto the actual tarmac of the road ahead of you.
That sounds incredible.
Yeah.
But what if I am driving in the middle of summer, the sun is glaring off the road, and I am wearing heavy, darkly polarized sunglasses? Does the projection just disappear?
Not at all. Because of the microLED's undisputed brightness, these volumetric projections remain utterly visible even in blindingly intense external light, and they punch right through those polarized lenses.
So standard dashboard screens are basically obsolete at this point. Why look down at a screen when the road itself is your screen? But a car interior in the summer gets incredibly hot. Can these tiny crystals survive sitting in a hot car all day?
The durability is exactly what makes this viable for vehicles. The source notes that the Griffin display panels endured intense thermal stability stress tests. They function flawlessly inside scorching vehicle cabins at 105 degrees Celsius, that's 221 degrees Fahrenheit, and survive freezing drops down to minus 40 degrees Celsius. And they did all of this without exhibiting even a microscopic hint of pixel degradation or burn-in.
That is wild. And it goes beyond cars, too. The source highlights massive enterprise scaling. Imagine an elite surgeon operating in Dubai wearing practically weightless glasses that instantaneously overlay dense, intensely bright 3D MRI scans with absolute millimeter precision over the physical patient, and it is perfectly visible despite glaring overhead surgical lights. Or an architect in Tokyo looking at detailed architectural blueprints flawlessly overlaid on a bright, dusty worksite. It is completely rewriting the standard operating procedures of global industries.
It truly is. But creating the technology in a hyper-controlled laboratory is entirely different from manufacturing it for global distribution. This brings us to a massive manufacturing headache known as mass transfer. This was the absolute final obstacle impeding the total takeover of the microLED ecosystem.
Right, because you have to actually build the screens. Explain this mass transfer problem to us.
To comprehend this, imagine the robotic assembly of a single premium 8K display panel. You have tens of millions of fully independent, entirely microscopic pixels that have been physically sliced off a highly expensive monolithic gallium nitride growth wafer. These pixels must intricately find their precise corresponding attachment bumps, be carried by robotic appendages, and be forcefully soldered onto a complex electronic backplane circuit board.
I saw the math on this in the source, and it is staggering. It points out that even if these assembly robots achieve an absurdly high mechanical success rate of 99.9%, the reality is that you're still left with roughly 20,000 completely dead, permanently burnt out pixels peppering the final consumer display. Imagine paying $3,000 for cutting edge AR glasses, and it looks like it has digital dandruff.
Yeah, no one is buying that.
It's a completely unsellable disaster.
A 99.9% yield is a massive failure in this specific context. But in the second half of 2026, leading Taiwanese and South Korean foundries heavily deployed immensely advanced robotics to solve this. They used esoteric laser transfer techniques, using rapid pulses of laser light to blast pixels from the wafer directly into their exact sockets. They also utilized fluidic assembly solutions, which involve floating pixels and precise liquid suspensions over the backplane. Through these efforts, they miraculously crushed the fatal error rate, driving the yield rate up to a commercially viable 99.999%.
Which officially greenlit consumer mass production. Multi-million unit volume launches for ultra-lightweight, socially acceptable AR smart glasses were solidly scheduled for the second half of 2026. But we do have to talk about the geopolitical reality of this massive breakthrough. based entirely on the facts in our source. And we're just reporting the facts here. This production is highly concentrated. It is heavily monopolized by enormous foundries based almost exclusively in Taiwan and South Korea. Entities like Plain Eye Tried, Enestar, and the display divisions of Samsung and LG. Why is it so isolated?
That is an incredibly important aspect of this entire revolution. Producing micro-LED arrays demands practically the identical hyper-clean semiconductor fabrication methodologies used to etch advanced compute processors at facilities like TSMC. The sheer capital expenditure required to build a single, functional micro-LED fabrication plant from scratch in North America or Europe easily breaches the $10 billion threshold.
$10 billion just to open the doors.
Exactly. This highly concentrated supply chain means that for the next half decade, the absolute flow of mass market AR hardware remains exclusively bottlenecked by the shipping capacities and yield stability emanating strictly out of the South China Sea. Western technology giants are forced into unquestioning reliance on Asian manufacturing supremacy.
So what does this all mean for you as a listener? The source raises a deeply existential question for the global hardware ecosystem. If you have glasses with crystalline, daylight-piercing perfection, do you actually need a phone? For 15 years, humanity has been biologically chained to staring downward into a heavy, glowing rectangular slab of glass. But this 2026 hardware paradigm suggests the smartphone is rapidly evolving into a pocketized compute puck.
A compute puck?
Yeah, it will just be a dumb headless server in your pocket, providing your battery and a 5G or 6G connection. The actual primary visual interface entirely migrates to the sweeping volumetric space surrounding your face. Incoming video calls, sprawling messaging threads, infinite social media feeds, they just float in the ambient physical space around you.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it explains exactly why tech conglomerates are systematically burning through hundreds of billions of dollars dissecting crystal structures at the atomic level. The economic justification is tied to what the text calls platform hegemony.
It is a war for control of the last inch.
Yes. The corporation that successfully controls the foundational optical hardware interface connecting the human eye to the digital realm possesses the absolute power to dictate the software toll gates, the application store taxes, and the fundamental advertising architecture of the 21st century. If Meta or Apple successfully dominate the micro-LED supply lines and own the glasses on the faces of a billion users, they completely bypass the traditional web browser and the classical operating system entirely. They own the ultimate last inch of the visual pipeline.
Failing to secure these high-yield micro-LED panels essentially guarantees a tech giant's swift relegation to the dustbin of history. The convergence of eradicating the brightness crisis, securing extreme optical efficiency for tiny batteries, and conquering the mass transfer yield rates has unlocked a future where digital data is no longer trapped behind smooth glass confines. It is a new interaction model that will fundamentally reshape human communication. Which brings us to the final editorial verdict from the Tech and Engineering Desk included in our source.
How did they score it?
Well, for the 2026 purchasing value of AR equipment for general consumers, they scored a 7 out of 10. They note that while first-generation mass-produced hardware inevitably grapples with turbulent software ecosystems, the sheer undeniable hardware leap makes it impossible to ignore. But for exploratory tech value for the automotive and elite medical industries, that gets a perfect 10 out of 10. The era of the heavy, handheld glass rectangle is ending. We are witnessing the dawn of an advanced technology that flawlessly projects critical telemetry directly onto the physical fabric of the environment surrounding you.
This raises an important question, something you should deeply consider as we move into this era. If these tech conglomerates successfully claim that last inch of our vision, completely untethering us from our screens to project digital data seamlessly into our physical environment, how long will it take before we are entirely unable to distinguish between genuine physical reality and the sponsored volumetric hallucinations these companies project right in front of our eyes?
That is exactly the kind of provocative question we need to be asking right now. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the reality of the tech around you. Stay curious, and we will catch you on the next one.